Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. This is Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook here at the World of Ink Network, featured on Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing, Marcia?
Hi, how are you? We didn't decide who was going to say hello.
I jumped in.
I know. I'm going like, good. Yeah, somebody has to, one of us has to talk.
Yeah, I know. We don't want to talk over each other. I know. Usually we do.
Yeah, something. I know. Yeah, doesn't the promo sound good? The promo sounds good.
Yes, it is. Yep. And I know we want to let all of our listeners know that, of course, we're making changes, as always, here at the World of Ink Network, and that we're adding commercials going forward into our programming. And so if anybody is interested in having a commercial play, for their books or for their company, they can contact us through worldofinknetwork.com or here through blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork. And of course, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook and contact us through there. It's something that we're looking forward to. It will sound pretty much like our opening does now, because Elise does such a great job with them.
Yeah, she's doing it great, right. She's doing some audiobooks too. And, which I talked about a little on the show that I had last week. The audiobooks are really, such an interesting concept now. And authors can go in on Amazon and do the ACX program, and they can go 50-50, which so it won't cost them anything. And you share, and they read your words, and they produce it in the background. And it's really, really good. I mean, they sound great. You can put in what kind of voice you want, male, female, whatever. And it's great, and it's a good learning. I was talking about this good writing experience, because you can listen to it and your writing becomes better because you're listening to chapters and knowing how to break to the chapters. Because something about listening to it, it really is a different experience. So I think people that haven't tried it, I think Audible has specials where they, you can have a free book so you can hear what, it's like the books on tape used to be. But I love it. It's really exciting because when you're getting dressed, you can hear it.
Yeah. And that's how I put it. Exactly. Yeah. And it seems like this kind of market is really starting to grow. So we're excited about that. We're excited about, what's happening with Audible and the fact that we're moving forward doing, commercials, promos here on World of Ink Network as well. It's just been a great experience all around. And we also,
before we bring Barbara out, maybe you want to just say you want to talk about our new show that's coming up. Maybe.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. That we were just recently working out some of the new things that we have coming up. And so we are going to start having once a month a new show that it will be a candid, very entertaining show where Marcia and I will actually start sharing some of our knowledge and experiences within the publishing industry. Our listeners, for those who are into writing or on the publishing side or, trying to understand, marketing better. We're going to actually start sharing some of that live on the air once a month and letting you guys know what we know works, what doesn't work, what works for some, what doesn't always work for everybody.
We try a lot of things, that's why. And so we can help people that way, because we try it, because I don't really like to talk about, neither do you, unless we really know about it.
Right, right. And we've been doing so much lately, and yes. we've had so many great guests on that have shared. Yeah, we've had so many great guests that have shared information with us, and there's so many different things that we've tried over the last 5 years for sure. That we felt that it was a show that we feel a lot of our listeners can benefit from. So that's something that will be coming up after Labor Day weekend in September. So for those who are interested, just keep your eyes out on that. Once it's scheduled and up and running, we have a show date nailed down. We'll share it out
We'll put it out there, right.
Yeah, we'll put it out there on social media and here, of course, on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And then I just really want to quickly, because we always do it at the beginning of the show and then we do it at the end of the show. I know right now for our listeners who tune in that it looks like we have no shows planned. We actually do. We're just getting back from the summer. So one of the shows that is coming up, it's just not on the show schedule right now, is we actually Trace McDonald and myself try to have Fawn Nielsen on from Hear My Heart Books, which is out of Canada, and there were some technical problems that day, so Tracy and I just carried the show. But we are going to have Fawn back on in August, on the 26th of August, and that will be at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific. I have to do the math in my head.
That's different for you. 12 o'clock.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
it's actually 11 for you. It's 11.
Yeah.
For
it'll be 11 my time. Yeah. So we will. Yeah. Yeah. School's back. So I have to juggle around weird hours now. So anyway, so we will have Fawn back on, and we are going to, of course, still talk about the My Heart books, but we're going to also talk more about crisis management and children in crisis. So it's going to be a really great show, especially now that with school starting back up. I know some schools have started back up. My kids are back in school, but a lot of schools after Labor Day will be in session too. So we felt this was definitely a show that we wanted to get on the air since it didn't work out last time. So Fawn will be hopefully back on with us as on schedule, as long as no technical problems happen, on August 26th. And I think that's really the only official show date we have right now. Is that correct, Marcia?
I have one in October with Brian Moreland, who's been on the show. He's a very successful thriller horror writer. He's very interesting. One time I did a show with him, he was at a cabin in the woods, and I'm thinking it's dark out and he's in a cabin in the woods and he's talking. I think he was in his car, because I think you can't sometimes get reception. So now every time I think of him, I think of him in the woods there and talking, you know. I think he'll be my only guest. He's a great guest, and it will be a good show. That's in October. So we'll starting to put things together that are different, you know, one-on-ones more than, you know, and we, you know, I've done shows with the, 6 and 8 people, but I do one-on-ones. my shows get crowded sometimes, but it's fun, you know.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes we do it one-on-ones. Okay, so we should, I guess, bring Barbara out, because it's going to
be a fun
show.
Yes, that's what the show's about today. Yes, so Barbara's a former teacher and librarian, and she is also a children's author. She has 2 books out, The Pinecone Walk, which I actually got to work on that book, through Halo Publishing, and then her other one is Kate Waite, which is also through Halo Publishing, but I wasn't on that team when that book came out. So and her name's Barbara Springfield. So welcome to the show, Barbara. We're glad
to
have you here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So did you want to share a little bit more about who you are with our audience? Because we usually like to let our guests talk.
Yes.
Because you know yourself better than we do, obviously.
Okay,
the paper, but
okay, well, I am a, I used to be a teacher, a kindergarten teacher for 22 and a half years, and a librarian, and I also was a farmer, because I lived on a farm and owned horses and sheep and made hay and things like that. So I've done a lot of those things, but 7 years ago, my husband and I decided to move to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to just have some fun and just to start playing more in life. And so... I had some books that I had written when I was a librarian. I had written The Pinecone Walk actually 8 years ago. So then I had time to start doing some things like that with my books.
That's good. And trust me, a lot of authors, that is so common to hear them say, you know, I wrote this book back when I was, you know, in grammar school, or I had this idea. No, honestly, I think I've mentioned it
before.
No,
we do. No, we do, because those ideas stay with you. Yeah, they do.
Oh, they do. I used to pull up the Pine Cone Walk all the time on the computer and just read it and go, wow.
Yeah.
I just wish it could be a book.
Well, now it is, and honestly, I love, like I said, I was on the team with Halo when that book came out, and I thought it was the cutest book when I read it. It was such a fun book to read. And what I like about it is, a lot of books that are out there that are similar to that, it's usually like, you know, a child and a parent. And right. I love the fact that this is with the grandparent, because there's not enough books, I think, out there where there's the grandparent and the grandchild together. And I like that about this book, because it's one of those books that a grandparent, because I know, like with my girls, they have one book because they have a grandma who likes to quilt. And ironically, she found a book about a grandma who quilts. And every time Greg comes over, that's the book they all have to read together. So that's what I like about the Pinecone Walk, because I think of that same kind of thing with, you know, that book where I can just see the grandpa sitting down with his grandkids, and that's like their book to share together.
Right. That's good.
I think that's, you know, because people do, you know, kids especially, I know myself that I have very good memories of my grandparents. So, you know, even when I do my children's character, sometimes I have one of my characters, you know, quote things that my grandmother told me, because I think it's different than what your parents tell you. For whatever the reason is, when grandparents say something, it's got, you know, much... I don't know. It just seems like you're listening. You know, it does. It seems like you listen more and you think their experience. Yeah. Don't you feel that? I do.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do too.
Barbara, yep. How do you feel about that? You write about that, so you know.
Well,
so how do you feel about that?
Yeah. I agree too. My grandfather was very important to me, and he owned a farm. And so when I was a little child, I used to go to the farm. And so that gave me a love for nature and a love for that farm life. So actually, when I got married, my husband and I bought our first small acreage and started farming too. So, you know, my grandfather was very important to me.
See, that's
Good.
It's a good thing to write about. Kids like it. So
it is.
We know that.
Well, and that's what I say. A lot of your books do tend to focus in on nature. Do you want to share a little bit like what you hope the kids get from those books? Because, you know, I have kids, and I believe it or not, I just sent my youngest one to kindergarten today, and they like to sit in front of the TV and play video games or watch movies, and they don't get out in nature like they used to. So I love the fact your books focus on that.
Right. And I guess that's because, you know, I did live on a farm and I was out and about a lot, and really something that I really loved to do was just as an adult, go grab a basket and go for a walk on my farm looking for pine cones. I just love to do that. And we had a wood stove, and I would put the, you know, pine cones in the wood stove to light the fire at night. But you know, it really wasn't all about the pine cones. It was about getting out and walking and, you know, seeing the birds and picking up a feather and finding a bird nest and things like that. And I really hope that children will, you know, go on a walk and look for these things. I had a little girl that was five, and she told her grandmother, she said, "Grandma, I want to go on a pine cone walk." And her grandmother said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "I want to go on a pine cone walk." And she said, "Okay." She goes, "We need a basket." She goes, "Okay." And she took her granddaughter on a pine cone walk, and then found out later her little granddaughter had heard the story of the pine cone walk.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I want
children to get out there
and walk and just discover the world.
Well, that must be exciting when you hear people, you know, doing things because you wrote a book about it.
That was exciting. I said that little five, and then her grandmother actually owns a store here, and she said, "Come to my store. I want to buy the pine cone walk."
Oh, good.
And I said, "Here, a little 5-year old marketed my book for me."
Aww.
That's
the best kind of
marketing. That's the best marketing.
That's right.
Best
right.
Marketing. Word of mouth never changes.
No, tell us a little bit about Kate Waite, because that one I know has a dog, and it's
well, Kate
beach
Waite
related.
Is about when I lived on a farm, we had sheep, and I had border collies that worked the sheep. And so, you know, I could send the border collie out to bring the sheep up to the barn, and you know, they were they worked a lot on the farm. So when we moved to the Outer Banks, we brought one of our border collies with us, which was Kate. And so it's just a book about her personality and about how now she doesn't herd sheep, but now she herds waves and balls, and it's just about her, the things that she does here on the beach. And every other page is like, Kate, wait. So the children, you know, they help me out with the story. So I'll tell them, you know, when I give them I'll give them a sign language K, and I say, whenever I give you a sign language K, I want you to say, Kate, wait. And so they get to interact in the story.
That's great.
I love that. I love that.
And that's a good idea.
I wish I knew about your book, because I actually just took my girls for 10 days down to San Diego, and it was the first time they've ever been to the beach. And so when when Lisa got a hold of us and was like, you know, I want Barbara to come on your guys' show and stuff, I was looking at the Kate Waite book. I was like, oh, this would have been so perfect out there at the beach.
Amazing. It is amazing that now kids don't know certain things that, you know, like the beach. Things that we take for granted, they really don't. A lot of times they don't know these things, and the only way they see them is through books.
That's true. And, you know, also, you know, with having something to repeat, like Kate Waite, and also in the Pinecone Walk, I have the children say, and we walked on. Mm-hmm. It's like every other page is, and we walked on, because that's how they learn how to read. You know, and so if they're doing some repetitive words.
Repetitive, you know, yeah.
And they start to say, oh, that's what Kate Waite looks like. And so it really helps them to read. So that's why both of my books, I have something in there like that.
No, I think that's great. And that's the one thing I didn't do when I first started writing. I wasn't good with the, you know, having that repetition. And I actually did it with my most recent book that just came out. So I could have my same thing, have the kids interact. I think that's how kids, at least what I've seen with my children anyways, has made them fall in love with books, is when they can interact with the book that way as the adult is reading with them.
Right, and it becomes more meaningful to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I think that's great. I'm sure, of course, with that teacher background and librarian background, that really helped with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I really do. I always like to read books like that, too, when I was teaching, because, you know, where they could help me out with something, because they pay attention more, and, you know, mm-hmm. and then they feel like they're reading it with me, so...
Now, you said you were the director of children's. How did you pick out books? Did you choose them, or who chose?
I was a director of a small, like I was the branch manager. I wasn't the director of the library, but I was a branch manager of a small library. And I did not choose the books for the library. We had somebody to do that, but I was the children's programmer, which means I did all the. Bringing all the, you know, trying to go into the schools, bringing children into the library for story time. And I did all the adult, you know, programming also. So I did a lot of,
That's a lot of work. That's a huge amount of work.
It was a lot of work, but it was.
And that's what they don't do now a lot of times. They don't want to have a lot of the, you know, book signings or whatever and book readings, because it takes time to plan them.
Right. But I love to plan stuff like that. So
that's great.
When I became a branch manager. I mean, that was just something that I love to do. I love to market my next event. And so when I have my books now, I mean, that's one of the things that I just love to do. I love to market.
How did you market? What did you do?
I just said, well, you know what? I'm going to sell these books one by one, you know? And so I just would get in my, you know, every day I would get in my car, and my husband is just like, he's gone to every event that I've done. He's, carries my books for me. So he and I would go to the stores around here in the Outer Banks. I would just walk in and say, hi, I'm a local author, and would you like to look at my book? And people, wow. I mean, I was just amazed how people would just go, yes, I would like to look at your book.
Yeah, you know what, though? That's what my friends were talking about the other day. They told me that, go to a walk in the store and just give the books. You know,
right.
I mean, I live
in
Chicago. That's the problem. I think that would be really nice, and I've done that. And then you call up and you say, you know, did you look at the book? And they go, what books? And so somebody takes them.
Right. So I have my books are in 30-some-plus stores just on in around my area and also in my I've got it in my next state in Virginia, and I just I've been writing letters, I call people, and I'll just walk into stores and I just, you know, just keep I just try to brainstorm every day. What can I do next? What would be the next thing that I could do to show this book?
Maybe you'd like to work for World of Ink.
I mean, we'd like people to do this. To me, it's fun. I have a fun time trying to think of things.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. You know, it is. It's, you know, Virginia and I were talking about this today. You know, there are so many things now. You know, it's like you want to do one project or send it somewhere, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, look at that. I mean, that is true. Every day there's new places that pop up that you might be able to, they may be a source, but it does take a lot of time, though.
It takes a lot of time, but like I sent my, I called every state park in North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And I do have it in a state park, and you know, they did send me an email. Yes, we want your book in our state park. So, you know, I just try to think of all the kind of things that I can do to get it out there. And it does take time, but it's fun. To me, it's fun.
Now, with all the marketing you do, because that's one thing that I think, you know, especially readers, you know, books come out, we're like, well, when, you know, when's the next book going to come out by this author? I really like what they're writing. But, I mean, you do as an author. I mean, you're not just writing, you're having to market. So do you still carve out time to work on other stories, or do you focus on your marketing for a while
right
and then
now,
you move
I'm
to the
focusing
next?
On, I'm just focusing on marketing right now. I actually have like, I really do have like about four other stories that are sitting there, honestly, ready to go. But I'm going to spend like the next year and a half just marketing these books, and I'm getting them, push them as far as I can get them.
Which makes sense. I mean, that's why I think it takes a lot of authors to go, because if you think about that, I mean, a book comes out from author and you like, usually you wait like 1 to almost 2 years before you see the next book of this, because that's what you guys are out there doing. You're we had one author who came on, they said, when my book comes out, it's like I'm a rock star. And then all of a sudden, you know, the marketing dies down and then I'm back to writing again. No one knows who I am.
But the story, Kate Wade, I mean, when I would go to schools and take the Pinecone Walk, I just told the story of Kate Waite, and I did that for a whole year and just showed a picture of Kate.
Wow.
And whenever I would show the picture of her, I had like this goofy picture of her, and I would hold it up, and that was when they said the Kate Waite part. And I did that to lots of schools, and I read it to lots and lots of children before I actually made it into a book. So I kind of was marketing that one before I even got it made into a book.
Yeah.
No, that's.
Well, you knew they liked it, though.
Idea.
You knew they were interested.
I knew they liked it.
Yeah. Right away, you know. If they're not paying attention, you know.
Right.
It's not gonna
happen. So, because it sounds like you've gone out and you've been in schools quite a bit, which is great, because I know there's been a lot of children's authors who haven't been able to get in schools as much, because I know a lot of school districts are changing their rules with the visits from authors. When you've been out and working with the kids, because obviously that's your readership, have you ever had any kid come up and like share something with you that you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, like you didn't expect in any of those visits? Because I mean, kids always, you know,
they say what they want.
They do.
You mean share something bad, share something good?
Oh, okay. Like an example, like when I was at a book signing, not actually a book signing. I was reading to like I had 8 classes to go to. And so one little girl comes up to me at the end. She goes, if I give you my number, will you call my mother? I go, I don't think your mother would want you to give me your number. But here's my card, you know, because they do, they say what they want. I mean, they were like having me for dinner already. You don't want to bring someone home.
Yeah, I mean, I've had children go, when I give them my card, I'll call you today. but they don't ever do that. I'll be calling you. But no, I haven't really, no, most of the time I'm just reading the story and, you know, they're just, you know, fun. I read it to the I had about 40 children at my YMCA that I read it to a couple weeks ago. And, you know, now all those children, I mean, when I walk in, because I play racquetball every day, they are just hugging me. So it makes me, you know, it's really
neat. That's what they should do, because they love to have authors. And that's why if some of the schools don't have authors, and a lot of them have Scholastic come with a box. Okay, they have the boxes of books, but they don't have the authors there.
Right. And it makes it, it makes it more personable.
Yeah.
You know, if
yeah.
they get to meet the author, and then it makes the book more meaningful to them too. I go to yeah. also to a hotel. I have a hotel that I go to called Shutters
wow.
on the Outer Banks, and I go every Wednesday. What? And I read to anybody that walks in. You know, I have like a 9:30 time, and at the hotel, and they just come in. And sometimes I get two children. Sometimes I have.
What a great
know.
Idea! That's a
yeah,
really good
so,
idea.
That's so fun
wow,
too.
I love
so
that.
It's like, you know, I don't ever yeah. know. I never know who's going to walk in. But I had this little girl the other day, and she wants, and she writes. She wants to be an author, and she was like
that's
nine.
Cute.
And you know, so
aww.
If I can inspire
wow, that's
somebody,
cute.
That
yeah.
that's good too.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, that's why I love the fact that you're not just like, oh, I'm doing school visits, or I'm just doing,
right, yeah,
you know, going to the bookstore and just doing a signing, and you're actually there interacting as well. I mean, you're not just there just to sign books and
yeah,
hi. Because I'm with kids, especially nowadays, which is why I like the book so much, the Pinecone Walk, because like I said, my kids literally live in the house. I have to like shove them out the door, like go play. But terrible. But that's how these generations are. But I've noticed, and here's a prime example. Yesterday, my 10-year-old came home, and she had a homework assignment from her fifth grade teacher. And at the top, it said, you know, why is this boy crying? And then down the bottom right-hand corner of this, you know, 8x11 piece of paper is like this cartoon character of like this kid with his mouth really wide open, so you can see like his tongue and, you know, down his throat, basically. And then like the tears, you know, coming out the sides, like all crazy.
Right.
And she had to write. Come up with like this reason why this boy was crying. And she's like, Mom, what should I say? What, you know, why would this boy be crying? I don't know. I'm like, there's like 100 bazillion things, Ashley, that, you know, can make this kid cry. And I just
right.
started like coming up with like some
yeah.
really crazy abstract. I even got into like with Santa and like this kid going to like the North Pole to like prove Santa existed, and like the whole, you know, polar ice cap had melted up there on the North Pole, and all that was
right.
left was a sign. And she's laughing her head off. I'm like, wow. I'm like, she's 10. She should be thinking this stuff, not me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I love the fact that you're out there. And I think it's so important for authors like you to be out there, because it helps these kids not just think, you know, math, science, and, you know, and yes, they have reading in English, but it's more structured. It's not that, it's like that creative abstract is like missing now in our curriculum, I think, for these kids.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, and also I always ask them, you know, do you want to be a writer? Do you want to be an illustrator? You know, they'll go, oh yeah, I like to draw, you know. So.
You never know though. I mean, you never know. You know, but the thing is, they do have projects now where they do make their own books, which is a great idea.
Right.
So they have some idea of how a book even is made and how hard
right.
it is.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So I think that's a good project for kids.
Oh, it is. It is.
Now, I'm like, did I lose you guys? Because it got really quiet for
no,
a second.
No, I'm not. Like, yeah.
I know. I'm like so worried. I mean, we've had some technical problems recently.
I know.
Over here at Blog Talk, so I'm like, should we just go down?
I know.
So anyways, I'm curious, when you were working as a teacher and as a librarian, was there anything that you noticed that parents weren't doing enough of to get kids into reading that, you know, now as an author that you're trying to help them understand when you're out visiting? Because it seems like, and I know we were talking about this before the show, I know you and Marcia are definitely talking about this pre-show, you know, a lot of people, like, I know when my kids were born, especially like when you're a new mom, you get all like the little like book club things that get sent to you, like, oh, join the, you know, Dr. Seuss
right.
book club, and every month you'll get a new Dr. Seuss book. And trust me, I love the classics, but it just seems like the parents go, okay, they buy those classics and they put them on the bookshelf for their kids, but the kids don't read them, or they don't read them with their kids, or the kids kind
right.
of read them, but not really. But they don't learn how to go discover beyond the classics either, that are just, you know, shipped to them through those clubs.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm
just curious.
I just think too, you know, that parents should read at all ages. You know, sometimes they feel like they only should reach them when they're, you know, 5 or 6, and mm-hmm. you know, they don't read to them when, you know, they should read to them when they're still 10 and 11 and 12 and even, you know, older, read together, read chapter mm-hmm. books or, you know, whatever. But, you know, parents should still be reading to children at all ages, I think.
Well, that's
a
good idea, but what if they don't? I mean, you know, I think what's happened is a lot of the games and everything on the, you know, the video games and, you know,
right.
and all of the things that they have to do on the internet, will they want to do that? And if a
true.
Parent doesn't really pick out something that they want. You know, kids are pretty advanced now. So
right,
if you say at 10 years old, if you say at 10 years old, you want to listen to this book, and they'll go, been there, done that, you
right.
know, and
right.
what do you do? That's the problem, you know. And I think that's what I was telling Virginia, that James Patterson writes for children now, and
right.
I mean, as well as he's a best-selling author. He has something on Twitter. I didn't attend it, but I'm going to start to look at what he's saying about the Audible books, and he thinks that it is a good thing for parents to listen with their children to a book.
Right.
It's a good experience. You know, yeah. It's, yeah. And I've heard of some kids now, they can buy the book and then listen to it while it's being on the audio and try to figure out the words as they're saying
it. I was just talking to a teacher friend of mine this past week, and she was saying that, you know, they're really pushing literacy really a lot more in their school than they used to. But
yeah.
one thing that they were going to try this year was the Audible books. And they
oh, really?
Were going to order
yeah,
a whole bunch
yeah.
of them for the children and just, like, let them listen to the story. And,
yeah.
you know, maybe that would help, you know, break through, too.
Well,
see,
I think
and I
for
love-
me, yeah, for me, it helps me, you know, because I think some people, you know, I read, but I skip over words. And I think
right.
a lot of kids do
I
that.
Think we all do.
Yeah,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Right. right.
Well, I also say, I know back when I remember this even in high school, because I took Shakespearean literature when I was in high school. And at least my teachers did in our school district. You know, audiobooks were kind of around back then, and they were on the cassette tape, of course, so I'm like really old. But anyhow, they would have us, you know, we'd each get a copy of a book, and we would, you know, everybody would get like a paragraph or a page, depending on how much the teacher wants to read, but we would each take turns reading. And so we, you know, everybody would get to follow along as one person was reading until it got to you. And then you, of course, read aloud while everybody else was following along. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, at least out in your area, that that's something that your district's, you know, going to do with the Audible books with the kids, so they can, you know, put the two together.
Yeah.
Cause I
yeah.
think that's where I got better as a reader,
right.
was in that environment. Because, you know, I know, like, my kids in our district, we have like the take home library system. And they actually
right.
canceled it this year, which was pretty interesting. But the kids would get a book every, and depending on how long the book was, some of them it'd take them one night to read it. They'd bring it back. They'd get a, you know, you as a parent, you'd sign
right.
off that they
yeah.
read, and then they'd get
right.
a new book. Or if it, sometimes it took them a week, but the kid, you know, each kid got a different book. They didn't all have the same book, and it was something they took home. And either as a parent, if you had time, you'd hopefully sit down and read with your kids. I'm sure most parents didn't. That's
right.
probably why our school stopped doing it, because the kids would just be on their own reading. And
right, and
I
the
just,
parents just signing off.
Yeah, or they just sign off. And
yeah.
they would just say you're
right.
Right, you know, but I know, because that was going on when my son was in school. He's out of it. He's graduated now, but I remember thinking, wow, he hated reading, because it was like he was being forced to read versus, like, you know, what we're talking about, you know, like when you sit down and you're doing it as a group and, you know, sharing. And it's sad the way it's gone on with reading.
I think the child can, you know, sometimes they're a little shy and, you know, to do that. And that might be a good way to help them. You know, it sounds like it might be kind of, you know, the kid could be afraid to do that, but it might be something that the kid could learn, because eventually they do have to public speak, and it's
right.
hard to do that. It's not
well,
always
and also
easy.
It shows expression too. If somebody's reading it to you, you hear their expression
yeah.
and how the sentence flows.
Right.
Yeah.
And you could, and if everybody just sits there and if they really are listening, I think the reader probably feels like excited that people were listening to what that child said.
Right. Unless
you know.
They have trouble reading out loud, because some people don't like
well,
to read out loud.
Well, that's the thing. That's what happened. I actually, in my new book, I Wish I Was a Brownie, that the kids were laughing at the chocolate chip cookie, and they were, that's what he is, Chippy, and they were laughing when he was reading, you know, and
right.
he got upset, because I think that that's very common, that you don't want to do that.
No. I know,
you know, and I remember in high school having to do that. You had to get up and speak. And
right.
I remember, I think they had a joke, and my father gave me a joke to tell, and it was really a bad joke. And I guess it's really bad because I still remember it because we had to tell like a joke and whatever. And I still remember that it was a horrible experience because I don't think anybody laughed or understood it. And then I still remember it. So apparently it was an experience that you remember, not in a good way.
Right.
You know, right.
Sorry for the snails are barking.
I think
I hear a dog barking.
Yes.
That's our mascot.
Kids do get scared. Yeah. We love the little snails. But I think that, you know, because kids are afraid sometimes to do things like that. And even though they might not like it, they might remember it. And then they may be able to speak better when they, it's the first time to do that could be very scary, I think.
Sure. It can give them the, and then it maybe will give them the confidence to do it.
Yeah. That's what, see, we're saying all these things now, but, you know, the truth is kids don't have that confidence. And that's, you know, it's such a skill that you build up, but it's very hard to do that when you're in school because all your friends are, like, listening and they're looking. They're not paying attention. They're, you know, doing other things. And I think that gives you a, you know, you don't, that you kind of feel bad about yourself then. So if it becomes a, if it becomes something they do more readily, maybe they'll, you know, get used to it.
True.
You know, and like it because it, nobody, I don't think anybody wants to do that at the beginning.
Right. That's true. Nobody wants to go first.
No, nobody wants a teacher to call on them, you know. I mean, because I, you know, because we all have stories like that, you know, when your teacher calls on you, it's not a good feeling. And I had this one class, the teacher kept calling on me and he had little cards. He sat in the back of the room and he had cards and he would call on, you know, me every day because he knew that I would not, I didn't know it. And so what happened was, but everybody was so relieved because like for a couple weeks at a time, they were thrilled. They were thrilled that it wasn't them. And, you know, and he tried to make you cry, but it didn't work for me. I didn't cry. He did. Good. It was horrible. So, I mean, all of these are experiences that sometimes teachers, even now, they're not, they don't really have the patience that they need or the you know, to treat kids a certain way, you know, because if like all these years later, I remember these things.
Right. I know.
You know, and but now I'm on the radio. So, I mean, it's like this would be the last thing, the last thing I ever would have thought, you know. And Virginia, we know this because we were not, this is not a plan that we were going to do something like this. And so when you're speaking or when you're talking, it is not easy. And I remember when the first time I said at the other show, I was scared to read on the show. I'm an adult and it's my book and I'm reading it. And I didn't, I really thought, well, they said, this is the way to get out there. So I went, okay, fine. So I did it. And that's how I met April Robin. And then I was doing shows 2 minutes later. And then Virginia was looking for something to do. And that's why it's hard to believe your daughter's in kindergarten now.
I know.
I just had her. I know.
I just had her back then.
You know, and it's
scary.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just, you know, and it seems like with parents and teachers now, and I'm not saying like the 10-year teachers, the ones who've been doing this for a long time, you know, I'm talking like the newer teachers. So I'm like, sorry, all the ones that are in their 20s, not that I'm knocking them, but it seems like when it comes to books, no, it's just, they're younger, you know, they're still learning.
Yeah.
That when it comes to books and getting kids engaged, it's like they don't want them to feel embarrassed. And so they back off. And so I think sometimes it's a disservice that, you know, they're not helping these kids overcome their fears and building their internal confidence with them, you know, letting their minds be creative and be more abstract and getting them up there to read or, you know, to find, you know, or say, okay, you don't like this book. And so saying, well, you know, this is a book you need to read, say, okay, well, what are you interested in?
Yeah, because once you find a child's interest, oh my gosh, you know, they'll love to read then. And if it's about something that they love to do.
Yeah, but you sound like you were a great teacher. You sound like you were a great teacher. I mean, you know,
I love teaching. I did.
See, yeah. Right. We can't say that all teachers are like that because, you know, we've all had a few, no matter how old we are or whatever our age is, everybody's had teachers they remember that were not, you know, so terrific.
Right.
That's why they remember, not in a good way. That's a shame.
It is a shame.
Is there anything that you can share with us, Barbara, from, you know, being an author now, being a teacher in the past, being a librarian, that you know, parents and you know, starting out teachers can, you know, maybe use to help them hone that loving, you know, love of reading within the children that are around them. Because, you know, that's the one thing that Marcia and I see a lot is, you know, parents are like, oh, my child's such a reluctant reader. I can't, and I'm not saying there aren't reluctant readers. Trust me, I had one in my house too. That's my graduated son. But it seems like I see more about reluctant readers, comments about that more than I ever did, you know, 10 years ago. And it's really kind of sad because I'm like, I have a hard time thinking that kids don't like reading, because it seems like when I go out to schools and authors are out, or because I'm the director of our book festival out here, when I'm involved with that during October, that the kids want, you know, like when an author like yourself was out, you know, want to hear from the author, and they're very curious.
Yeah,
and so it just, I'm wondering, you know, what is it that us as the general public are missing to make literacy more of an engaging and fun environment for these kids that isn't happening?
I just know that when I was a teacher, I mean, if I had a great, I mean, if I had a good story to read to my class that day, I was so excited. You know, I would just like, oh, you know, I'd be searching for that book that I could read for that day. And I think just, you know, as a, well, I'm just like saying for new teachers, and your enthusiasm about reading and, you know, it, that just to read to the children, and if you're enthusiastic about it, and they see that you love it, and if they see your, and if they see that their parents love it too, you know, they're going to want to model after that too, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because, that makes a lot of
because
sense.
I think kids, you know, sometimes with kids, sometimes even if they don't want to read, I know a lot of people that I know give their kids a magazine, something, so they read.
Right.
Just make sure they get to their skills. Because we're not born with these skills. It takes time, you know, to learn how to read right and understand what you're reading.
That's true.
You know, because some kids don't. I would assume, you know, you're a teacher and you know this, that they could read, but they're not understanding really what they read. Either they're in a hurry or they're, you know.
Sometimes you have a really good reader in your class, but they didn't really comprehend anything that they read. They're just reading the words.
They read fast and they just read well.
Or they read fast, they read well, but maybe they didn't even really know what they were
concept.
Reading.
The concept. Right.
Yeah, you know, I've questioned that lately because it seems like the whole comprehension part of literacy isn't, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's as big of a focus. I always pick on the Hooked on Phonics.
See, I did that too. I was the phonic. I mean, we did a letter a week. So I taught like that.
Yeah, but have you know that commercial for Hooked on Phonics where it has the little the 5-year-old reading Charlotte's Web? I'm like, that's great.
But they really they're reading it, but they probably don't really understand what they're reading.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think it seems like I know. It's gotten really to become a big thing, like, you know, having proficient readers, people who can read, you know, above grade level, this and that.
Right.
At least I've seen this, and I don't know maybe if you've seen this within, you know, your career and out there now as an author visiting schools, but do you think that a lot of parents feel that by jumping picture books and the early readers that, are you seeing that where parents are doing that? Because it seems like I see that, and that parents feel like that's they want their kids reading, like, you know, the middle grade to YA books.
Right.
And
maybe too fast.
They like to say my child's reading in second grade level, and he's only in kindergarten.
Right.
You know, but
A big thing now. That's a big thing.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's just a status thing, I guess. You know, parents worry so much that their children are not going to be good readers that you know, puts probably a lot of pressure on them sometimes. But I was just thinking too, like when I was a teacher, we would always do, we would make books in our class all the time. And we would, you know, each child would write a sentence, you know, they would tell me to dictate the sentence and I would write it. And then they would draw the picture and we would put a book together. And by the end of the year, I would have probably maybe 20 books that we had written together as a class.
Wow.
And they
That's
were
great.
The most loved books. I mean, when they would go to get a book from the bookshelf, it was usually one of the books that our class wrote. You know, and then they would learn how to read from those books also. So that was just so much fun to do.
Yeah. Well, and here's the question. I bet those books were more in a short story type picture book format, right?
Yes, they were. They were like a picture book. They were like a, you know, a sentence on each page, and then a picture to go with it. And they and it was usually about, you know, it could have been a any topic that we would pick as a class to write about. And, you know, they would all dictate a line to me, and I would write it, or, you know, I would type it out, and, you know, and then they would draw the picture, and then we would put the book together. We'd bind, we would have these binders, we'd bind it, and they, and we'd say, okay, we got another book for our class, and they were like, yay, and they would read it.
Well, because they accomplished something, though. That's like a big accomplishment, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think people now, they think sometimes now I think that children, that might be something they didn't want to do. But I think kids are still kids no matter where you're from. They're still kids.
Right.
That's what I was going to say. Because like with Barbara, I mean, your books, you know, they're picture books. And I'm sure when you're reading, a lot of what helps those kids really identify with the book is not just the context within it. But it's probably those pictures.
Pictures, yeah. And Patty Burchard Jefferson was my illustrator, and she's awesome. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh. And yes, the pictures. You know, my niece sent me a video of my 3-year-old nephew reading Kate Waite, and he was like, you know, reading it in his little language, and he would go, Kate Waite. And then whatever he was saying, you know, we didn't know what he was saying. And then he'd go, oh, she got the ball. Oh, you know, oh, she has, oh, the dog's mean and can't wait, you know. But he was, you know, telling the story in his own words and reading it because of the pictures.
Right. And helped him. And for me, when I think about that, and because I love picture books, my husband thinks I'm funny because I actually will go to the library and sit in the picture book section at the library first and go read and see what new books are in there.
Right.
And he's like,
well, yeah, that's a good place to stay.
Yeah. Well, and he's like, why are you in there? Because, you know, when I see the pictures and read, because if you read the text, I mean, obviously, you know, when you get older, you can paint the picture in your mind, and obviously,
you know,
do that. But for a kid, they're still learning and experiencing. And for me, I see that as a really great way to build those cognitive skills for them.
Right. Yeah.
And reasoning. And I mean, like you're just saying, I mean, a little kid who can't really read, they can see the pictures. And from the pictures, they can identify,
one
sequential
story,
order.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can share with parents, you know, when it comes to picture books that maybe they're not understanding? That is a learning tool for their kids to actually become proficient readers and become better with their literacy, because it's, you know, again, they watch that dang Hooked on Phonics commercial with the 5-year-old reading Charlotte's Web. They're like, oh, I need my 5-year-old to be reading Charlotte's Web. And I'm like, you know, you're skipping some developmental stages there.
Yeah.
I would love for you to share about that, because I mean, with your background, I think you probably have a better, you know, understanding than probably, you know, you're not that we, you know, not that I'm knocking our other picture book authors that we've had on the show, but you know, I think you've been on both sides, you know, as an educator and now as a writer. I would just love for you to share kind of some of the things that,
and being in
the
library and seeing the kids,
yeah,
and seeing the kids firsthand, you know, that's a huge thing.
I mean, I'm just like, you know, as if somebody had the Pinecone Walk, you know, as a parent, you could point to, like, when it goes to "and we walked on." I mean, that would be a perfect time to like point "and we walked on," you know, and you're pointing and showing that each word is separate, you know, because I think sometimes children just see all, they just see, you know, it just all runs together sometime, you know, and sometimes you can pick out a word that maybe, you know, like deer or, you know, and just point to that word, you know, and a lot of times just pointing to things too helps out. To let children know that words are separate.
Yeah, because I think sometimes people think that children are growing up fast, but really their skills do not, you know, you have to have the basic skills, and they start at, you know, a lot of people, I don't know that this is exactly what I would do, but they do it. They start at 1 day old reading to the child, and they seem to think it's good. You know, I think it's okay, but I don't think, you know, I think it's good to talk to your child. And
right.
I, you know, I actually, you know, sang and did stuff like that, but because, you know, you don't want to, you just want them to have the happy experience. You don't want to like start reading to them and push, you know, because everybody's pushing for their kid to be the smartest kid,
Well,
you know,
are.
At 2 years
they
old.
Are.
Yeah.
They do that. So just, I mean, just really read books, but enjoy reading the books.
Yeah. Right, have fun doing it. Have fun, don't put pressure.
Have fun reading the books, right.
Yeah, I think people forget that kids need to have fun. I mean, that's
right.
One of the things.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't all be about where they're going to go to college when they're like 1 month old, you know.
Right.
What? I'm not supposed to be filling out the Harvard paperwork?
Yeah.
I had my kids all registered for Harvard by the time they came out of my room. What are you talking about?
And I think, and you set the child up for such, you know, everybody wants their child to do well, but you set them up to not enjoy things. And, you know, they really need to be kids and go through the experiences, because it's obvious that all three of us here have had those experiences. And even now we're talking about them because we remember them.
Right.
Well, I would say that's exactly what Barbara's books are. I mean, you're taking those experiences and you're actually putting them into words and pictures, which, you know, is so
it's about life, because, life.
Yeah.
And that's why they need to learn about life and, you know, in their own time. But it's good to start them out by giving them examples and showing them what it's about. Because, you know, and that, you know, unfortunately, people don't have the time someday. And that is why I've had discussions now on the Audible books. At least if they don't have time to read to their child, they can, you know, let them, even when they're trying to sleep, you know, and they're fussy, put something on so they can hear the words. And it's just, it may make them go to sleep, you know.
Right. And you just
there's so many ways you can
do this
now. I think the expression
too, because a lot of children, you know, that's something that you have to learn later, is you're reading, but now you got to learn to read with expression. So the Audible books are great for that.
Yeah. So I think that it's coming up into its own. It's going to take time, because the children's books in general have a harder time selling, you know, the newer books, because people do use the classics, but there are so many authors out there that are good.
Right.
That are new. They're new.
Like The Pinecone Walk and Kate Wade.
That's right.
And my thing too is, I mean, I love the classics. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I have classics definitely in our house, but I find with, you know, the books that are coming out now from authors like yourself, there's things that even though I know some things, you know, can transcend time and you can understand, you know, basic things like don't steal and stuff like that.
Right.
It seems like, you know, books like The Pinecone Walk and stuff, it registers more because it's within the time frame these things are in versus trying to relate to something. Trying to relate to something that was, you know, 40 years ago, 100 years ago, that is kind of the same, but not quite. And so, you know, that's one thing I think that is so important about not just focusing on the classics all the time with your kids.
And,
you know,
Virginia, which we forgot to say, which is totally like us, that I have 5 children's books. You have 2 children's books. I mean, so we do write for children also. And so, you know, we watch children and we try to figure out what they might want and how to make it an interesting experience, you know, as does Barbara. You know, that's the thing. There's so many authors that really care about if the kids get a sweet message and a good message and try to learn something in something where you're not preaching to them, where they can just feel like they've had an experience, but not something drummed in, because kids tend to shy away from that.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll just say, you know, there's still something to take away, because, you know, like I said, in The Pinecone Walk, when I read it, I loved the fact that it showed, you know, a child having a relationship with their grandparent. It showed the importance of getting out in nature, but it did it in a way that, you know, wasn't browbeating the poor kid over the head. Like,
right, exactly.
I can't tell you how much I am tired of the anti-bully books, because most of those are like browbeating the kids. And I'm going, you know, everybody's not going to live in utopia. And I'm not saying that that's not a goal not to have, but, you know, let's like try and figure out a way to kids understand that there's always going to be competition. Not everybody's going to like you, versus like, we must all get along. Don't bully.
Right.
Well, you know what, though, you know what they're doing in the regular stations, you know, in the HBO stations and all of that, what they've done in several, I've seen this in several of the series, that they take a parent and the parent is not happy about how their child was treated. So the parent goes there and bullies. the child, okay?
Right.
And this is a bad message, and this is what they're looking at this, and the worst thing in the world is that a parent goes to bully a child that's not their own and just really, you know, and these are intense scenes, okay?
Right. And how does that model for the child, how does that
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and they're showing that a lot. I've seen it two times in this week.
Or
you know,
or the flip side is all the adults are stupid and the kids are all smarter than the adults.
Yeah,
right.
That's the other one that I see a lot, and that's why I love your books, Barbara, because don't do that. It shows, you know, you can have that relationship across generations, and you can both respect each other for your background and knowledge, and not one is considered less smart than the other. Not one is considered a bully over the other. It's just enjoying life. And all your messages are subtle. And I like that because what makes a book to me enjoyable versus you said, the browbeating.
Absolutely. But what Barbara does is other people don't do sometimes. You know, you have the experience also of being with kids all the time and knowing, you know, you were a teacher. I mean, those skills, you know, that you have, it's unfortunate, but a lot of people are never going to get those skills because you have the memories of the kids in your class and what they need, and you know
that. That's true. And really, when I go to do a, you know, I get invited to go to a place to read to a bunch of children. I'll go, you know, as soon as I get in front of them, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love it. This is fun, you know.
I know, because it is fun. You know what, it is
fun.
Like, it's the really best experience. I haven't done it for a while, and I was doing it. And I'll tell you, I had the best time only because they are so pure, and they ask you questions. And they really, the questions they ask are phenomenal. They're great. I mean, they really are good, you know,
they
and they're not
they
afraid
are.
To ask. And they're good. Yeah. It's a good experience for the author. Let's put it this way.
The
author.
It's fun to be in front of children. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Your style is the style.
Yes, that's what people should. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, you know, being out with those kids just helps give even more ideas for books for them, too.
Yes.
Because you can see what they're drawing. Yeah,
right.
What they draw to.
Right.
Which then gives kids books they want to read, which is so important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so,
I think a lot of times a lot of pressure sometimes, like this is a girl book and this is a boy book and this is a girl book. And, you know, and that's really, it's just the message. It doesn't matter if it's all girls or all boys.
It can be for anybody. It's just a person, you know, it's just a child. It doesn't matter if it's a girl or a boy.
But I think sometimes people put in boy book, girl book, and, you know, and sometimes it should be just children's book.
Right.
You know, whether it's girls or boys in it.
Right.
It seems like girls read
boys
books.
Book.
Yeah, girls like to read boy books. Yeah,
yes, they do.
Read boy books. And boy books if a boy reads a girl book, they don't like that to happen. But that's not really right.
No, that's
they can, not. You know, but that's what they do. A lot of times, you can't read that.
Right.
You know, so it's been so interesting listening to, you know, because I really think that when you're a teacher and being in the library, those are the qualities that make a good writer for children, because, you know, you just didn't all of a sudden write a book, you know. No, because sometimes it matters. It does matter. Credentials do matter sometimes.
Right,
you know,
a
lot of times I think they do.
I think I've read a zillion books to kids. So I kind of no, I mean, I know, some books have so many words on the page, you know, and like even picture books, you'll see, gosh, it's like so many words on the page. And I mean, you kind of the attention span. I kind of know the attention span of that age and what they would like. So that helps, too.
Well, I see. And I think because all those books helped you figure out what you like and don't like, too.
Right.
In a book.
Right.
How do you feel about the paperback? One last question. How do you feel about the e-books, the paperbacks, the hardcover? What do you think about all of this? What people really don't know, if you want to give a gift, which is the right way, you know, what do they like when you're giving a gift?
I sell a lot of hardcover books to people that want to give gifts. But when I go to the stores, I sell a lot of paperbacks. in the stores, you know, because they're
It's a good gift item.
Actually,
yeah, they're expensive. They're expensive.
Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons that I made my books into paperback, because I knew I would be going to a lot of schools and I wanted it to be affordable so the children would be able to buy it. And so
Least give a copy to, at least you could give a copy to the library. That's what I did sometimes, so that kids, they may not be able to afford it, you know, and this way they could read it at least, you know.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
A good thing. Yeah. So we all agree on that.
See,
that's a good thing.
Here's one more question for me. Do you see kids, you know, as you've been out in schools and, you know, reading to kids in various environments, do you see that, e-books are starting to move in the children's market, or do you feel that kids are still where they like that book in hand? Because I know everybody thinks with this, with the generations that are all beneath us, because they've grown up with technology around them, unlike we did, that kids are going to be, you know, tech savvy and are all for having their e-readers or reading books on their phones or whatever. And
I don't know. I just feel like I haven't sold a lot of e-books. I have sold some, but not a lot. And
I think that's the thing. A lot of people don't. That's the thing.
Yeah.
For children.
Right. For children. But I think that children still like to have that book in their hand. I do. I think they do. And so that they can. So that then the pictures are, you know, right there, and it's more real, I think.
Do you think it's probably because, I actually teach this workshop quite a bit, because I talk about the five senses. That's probably one of the biggest things people have me come and talk about when I go out as a speaker, is using the five senses in your, you know, creative writing. And I'm wondering with kids, because kids are very tactile learners when they're young. I mean, if you think about babies, what's the first thing they do? They put everything in their mouth, right? Do you think that's what it is with kids? Because I know they're trying to push kids to go into the e-books. My fifth grader, they actually have tablets, and they do half their schoolwork on tablets.
Okay.
And I see that frustration with her. Not that, she definitely is way better with technology than I am, because she grew up with it. But I'm wondering if it's because kids need that tactile, you know, touch and... You know what I'm saying? Because they're still in that development where, you know, I think they draw on their five senses more. Would you agree?
Maybe that's probably what's happening in the schools.
I think so, that they like to, I mean, I think as a child, they like to hold the book and, you know, and I mean, and turn the pages, and, you know, they like to experience the book.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You know, and it's you know what it is? So a lot of people that read, you know, traditional books, you know, parents, and some like ebooks, some don't. So my opinion is I think it wouldn't be bad for the parent to get the soft cover or the hard cover and then an ebook. You know,
ebooks
are not that much money, so they can learn different ways of, you know, how you can read different books, because they're going to have to learn it, because they're going to be using iPads and that's it now. They're going to have to.
That's a great idea about a paperback and then an ebook, you know?
Yeah. I think
that
so.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Barbara,
we'll see how this all goes.
Well, it's been great having you on the show. Do you have any links or social media, you know, that where people can find you, you'd like to share with our listeners?
You can actually find me on Facebook, The Pinecone Walk. And really, I put things out there pretty much every day or every other day, things that I've done, places I've gone. So if you'd like to see my journey, how I started and where I am now, you can go to my Facebook page, The Pinecone Walk.
So let me ask you a question before we get off. I want to ask you a question. You have a page, okay, for the book.
Yes.
How do you feel that works for you? Because
I think it works great. I love it.
I love having
a page.
Right.
I mean, I have people that message me and say, I want a copy. I just say, well, tell me your address. I'll mail it to you. And it works fine for me.
See, rather than just your name, that becomes more of, I think that might be a good idea. And I think I'm going to do that myself, because I go back and forth, but I tend to, and I really think that's what I should have done. And I think that's what I'm going to do now, because now that you're saying that, if they like your book, then they can go right to the page and not look at all the other things you've done. And like Virginia, in our cases, they come with the shows and the, you know, the people that we interview and everything, the blogs, and it's too much to go through.
Right.
So maybe the page is a good way to do it.
You know, anytime I sell a book to a store, I put the picture of the store. So I'm advertising for them.
Great idea.
About it, like now my book.
Okay, Virginia, are we hiring her? Are we hiring?
I know. My gosh.
I don't even have to be in the same room with Virginia to know that this is perfect. What we would want. All right. So, and you put the picture. Great idea.
I put the picture of the store, and I write about my book. You know, being there, and you know, I'll say thank you to the person who bought it. You know, or whatever.
Great.
You know.
Very good. This is a really good. That's a good marketing skill.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm helping them, and because they were so kind enough to buy my book to put in their store, and I'm helping them also.
Yeah, we take notes. I'm taking notes on what you said.
I was gonna say, there's a lot of authors that have Facebook pages that you know follow, but it's them as the author, and because they have multiple books, it does it, or you know, or they teach it like a.
Well, so that's what I was thinking. Like when Kate Waite came out, I was like, wow, okay, so what do I do now? I've got two books.
Yeah.
But it's just worked out fine like that too. Having the two books on there, you know, I just made Kate Waite, you know, my big, you know. Presenting Kate Waite, but I still go back to the Pinecone Walk, and I do Kate Waite, and I just mingle them all in there, you know, and wherever I go to whatever activity I am.
But it's not your name; it's under the book's name.
It's under the book's name, the Pinecone Walk.
Yeah, that's really. I think it's a good idea. I've thought of that, and I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I really do. So we'll be trying that. I know I'm just
okay.
So then
well, I was going to say that's an easy way for your readers because they're kids, you know. Which is true. Kids.
And they'll
remember
the name of the book before they'll remember my name. They're going to remember the name.
Exactly.
Smart. So Facebook, the Pinecone Walk. And is there any other links that you have where people can follow you, or is that pretty much the prime one for your books?
Yeah, that's really my primary one, except for my email address. That's the Pinecone Walk. I do have a blog that I was writing about. I kind of got away from writing on that, but so I don't really have that address to give you. But just to go to the Pinecone Walk and my page.
Well, I'm going to do that.
Right.
You know, and you know what, we have different shows on discussions for children's books, and you know, we'll invite you back because you know I think you've given a lot of shed a lot of light on some of the things that people need to do for children's books and wonder why they don't sell books because they don't do what you're doing.
Well, thank
you. Why.
Yeah, you've definitely got a great way to reach your readership. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I think it's great. Yeah. All right. Take care. So nice of you to come on the show.
Okay, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed talking
to you.
Oh,
you're welcome. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
So,
guess what I'm going to do with it.
I'm pretty sure you are.
Add it to my 10 other. No, I think it's a good idea. I think she had a lot of good ones.
Very good. She does. I think she has a lot of great things that she's going on. I mean, her books are adorable. The Pinecone Walk, which I do have. I'm going to definitely get Kate Waite.
That's great.
And just the information, you know, on getting kids to read and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
so important. And that's why I love having picture book authors on like Barbara, because
I know.
I really feel like so many parents and teachers, and not all teachers. I mean,
we used to do this all the time. We used to, and then we will do more of this. That's why I'm discussions and things because, you know, we do this a lot, but sometimes, you know, like she said, put a picture of the store. I mean, these are very good ideas.
Yeah, great tips for other children's book authors who are trying to get discovered because they are. I mean, these authors are up against these classics, you know, they're up against Dr. Seuss and they're up against the Critter books and I mean, you know, and the Golden books and I grew up on those books, but there are some fabulous authors out there for these kids.
Oh, there's great books out there. And we know so many authors that have just disappeared that were children's authors and it's sad. They're good books.
Yeah, some really great books.
Yeah, it's very good. All right, so this was fun.
Yes,
now
and then of course,
to our writing, whatever.
So back to our writing, back to our stuff. But we will have a show on August 26th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. You can do the math from there, everybody.
Yeah.
If you're on Central or Mountain, and that will be a fun show. We're going to be talking about Crisis Management with Children. And of course, it's My Heart Books with Fawn, who is the owner. And she's also an author as well of books for kids in crisis. So yeah, that'll be a really great show.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, she's already, you know, has a bunch of programs that she's lining up for schools and anybody who is in literacy or just in crisis, like, you know, anybody who has a center that deals with like abused women and children, she's putting some programs together for that.
It's so very sad that we have to have shows like this because there are so many things that happen to kids. It's really, it's very sad.
Yes, it is sad, but I'm glad.
And it's great when people, it's great when people are doing things to help kids like that.
Yes, yes. And it's amazing what Fawn's doing and what My Heart Book is doing as well. I mean, and she is out of Canada, but you know, they travel and they do come into the US. They don't just stay in Canada. So that's an amazing thing. And then
look what Barbara does. She gets in the car and goes and books. This is somebody. Yes. I'm telling you, my friends told me that. I go, like, I don't think this is going to happen. I'm going to go drive. But Chicago, it is different. But you know, it's true. This is the thing. That's one of the things that you do. And she's done it. And it sounds successful. So, you know.
Right. And I think that's what has to happen because, you know, kids can't come find you. You have to go find the kids, unfortunately, and and share it. So, you know, it's great when you get the kids because they do. They love to read, but it's definitely, you know, work on everybody's part.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's what we have coming up. And then, of course, in September, we'll have Marsha and I'll be doing our new show once a month that will be from things that we have tried out, things that we're going to look, that we're looking into to find out more about. And, of course, sharing our knowledge within the publishing and writing industry. So that'll be a fun show for anybody who wants to get into this or is in this.
We're gonna try to make it a call-in show. If it takes time to do that, you know, it takes a little time, but I think we'd like to do that, you know, where they can call in and ask questions. And, you know, because, you know, we're all on different time zones and it is difficult sometimes. So I think we'll try to get something we'll have in the evening so people are home from work.
Yes. So it'll be in the evening. You know. So it's definitely going to be an interactive show that we want our listeners to tune, you know, call it. And if you're a reader, even if you're not wanting to write, but you're an avid reader, we'd love for you to call in and ask.
That's what I want. I've been trying for years to get readers to call in because I want to hear what they think.
Yes. Because honestly, I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, and you know, Barbara even talked about that. You write these books, but even though your background, you know, or do the research to learn what works and what doesn't work, I mean, ultimately, it's the readers who help make this market what it needs to be. So we meet the needs of, you know, the market. And so, this will be a fun show in September. And that will be starting again after Labor Day weekend in September. We will definitely get
Wednesday. That show, you can say exactly what you think.
Yes, that will be a... Go ahead and you can let us know if you think something's terrible, which probably not a good thing because I have some definite series of books I like to beat up. But anyways,
we won't talk about that. All right. Okay. All right. So take care and thank you. And thank everyone for listening.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.